This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. This weekend, we're broadcasting from the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C., as the Values Voter Summit is in full swing. And we've got a jam-packed show, and I have a feeling you're really going to enjoy it. Later on, we'll be hearing from Ken Cuccinelli, actress Sam Sorbo, and Tony will share his thoughts on the Boy Scouts. But first, on Monday, Representative Dave Brad of Virginia joined Tony to share his thoughts on recent attacks by the left on Christopher Columbus and the celebration of Columbus Day.
Congressman, as an educator, former educator, and now as an elected leader from the Commonwealth of Virginia, what do you think about these efforts to erase our history? What's this all about?
Yeah, Tony, thanks for having me on. I spent 20 years teaching this stuff, the history of ideas, and America, the United States in particular, is an idea above all else. It's a vision. And the easiest way I can answer is just to say, if you look back at Harvard, an institution founded by a bunch of Calvinists and Christians, et cetera, the motto back in 1640, not quite back to Columbus, was faith for Christ and church, truth for Christ and church. That was the motto of Harvard. Is that the motto of Harvard anymore? And the answer is no. And in the Judeo-Christian tradition, we go out of our way not to force our religion on folks, but the vision we sketched out produced religious toleration for all people. And Jefferson and Madison, both from my quarters in Virginia over here, were most proud of their work on religious toleration centers. So we sketched out a vision that has been the envy of the world, and I think that's part of the problem. We are an exceptional nation. It's been grounded in the Judeo-Christian tradition. Out of the Judeo-Christian tradition comes the rule of law. And then if you're really lucky, you get Adam Smith and free markets, and you become the richest, most powerful nation on the world as well. And so in the history of thought, the Marxists came about mid-19th century, 1840 or so, and they have a radically different view of the world. And that's that they're good and we're the bad guys. And they have been trying to deconstruct Western traditions and Western philosophy, and especially the Judeo-Christian tradition, for the last 100 years. And they're bearing some fruit. They've, in a large measure, they've taken over the universities. K-12 is not so bad, but the universities, there's just an aggressive war going on against the Judeo-Christian tradition, the rule of law, et cetera. You can see it. There's no more Western civ taught in most of the best universities. Brown University doesn't have any curriculum at all. And so we're doing our best in Congress, but this really has to be a people thing. I'm not the leader or the boss. The people have to demand their country back. And that's what we're dealing with all this identity politics. The Obama guys, luckily, a week or two ago, wrote a few pieces, the architects of the identity politics, race and gender, and all, said they're failing. And so the left has overshot in the short run here, and they've given up on their own labor movement to such an extent that they lost Michigan and Pennsylvania and Ohio, et cetera, in the last election. So we have a chance to once again get it right. The American people will. I still have faith. God's at work. But that's my lay of the land.
And if you remove from our history anyone who has ever made a mistake, I mean, what we would have no history. I mean, all of these people, as you said, we're all that understanding that the Judeo-Christian worldview has, everyone has fallen. We all need a redeemer. And therefore, we understand that. It looks like we're applying a different standard today, looking back on history, and no one measures up.
Yep. No, that's exactly right. And so, you know, you don't want to get into just a barbed fight with the left on this kind of stuff. But, you know, who do you got? Name who you want to put on a statue. And let's put them under a microscope, and within 5 minutes, no individual can bear that scrutiny, right? So when they come down on you, I mean, everybody has flaws in their life. That's not the question. Right. And so we have really gotten way too polarized in the country, and part of it is the church. We have been weak. We have not been doing our job properly, and that was part of the great Bonhoeffer talk the taxes got into. In Germany, with the Nazi assault, the Protestants were weak in the north, the Catholics were weak in the south. And I wrote in my own book way back when, I said I had the creepy feeling it could happen again. And if we don't stand up, it can happen again. Yeah. And the ultimate irony here, right, is the left, after President Trump won, they're the ones that are worried about fascism, which requires a large total state.
And that's exactly where they're pushing. That's where
right.
they're pushing.
They're pushing.
Hey, Dave, we're up against a break. We're going to have to continue this conversation sometime. Fascinating. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk soon.
You can find out more about all of the topics we cover here on Washington Watch when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues of the day. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Ken Cuccinelli.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. On Wednesday of this week, Ken Cuccinelli, who is the president of the Senate Conservatives Fund, joined Tony to discuss the call from conservative groups for Senate leadership to step down. Here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you.
All right, Ken, you guys had a press conference today, as I understand, to call for the leadership to either step aside or be ousted in the Senate so that the conservative agenda that they ran on and got elected on could be fulfilled.
Well, and that's the key, Tony, is, you know, they have set the benchmark themselves and failed to meet it. And in some instances, especially with respect to Mitch McConnell, it's borders on quite intentional. I mean, here's a guy who ran and told us he wanted to get rid of Obamacare root and branch, and he was totally committed to that. Well, we can go back not too many years and see him fighting Republicans trying to keep exactly that campaign promise. And so now he gets what he said were his conditions, a Republican House, Senate, and President, and he doesn't deliver on the repeal of Obamacare. And the list goes on. I mean, they've only approved 7 judges. There are more vacancies on the judicial bench, the federal bench, today than when President Trump assumed office. That's incredible. A complete failure comes along with leadership that has viciously attacked its own conservative base. I mean, look at what they did in Alabama.
Right.
In the recent Senate race. This is a deep red state where there's no risk of losing a Republican seat. Mitch McConnell spent 10 to 20 million to 30 million, depends which numbers you believe, millions of dollars to really just keep a senator in the caucus who would vote for him for majority leader. It had nothing to do with the Senate majority. They spent $0, Tony, actually advocating for the repeal of Obamacare. You know what the left spent fighting the repeal of Obamacare? $15 million. Just about the same amount of money that Mitch McConnell spent just in Alabama, in a deep red state, just to keep his own toadstool on a voting bench there for the caucus. That was about his own power, not advancing.
That's an interesting comparison. I had not thought about that. When you look at the amount of money that was spent in the Alabama race on behalf of Luther Strange, who was appointed by the governor when Jeff Sessions was nominated to the United as the Attorney General. So I guess you're saying, and that makes sense, what if they would have spent that money on building support for the repeal of Obamacare on either the weak sisters, the Republicans who were against it, or even the Democratic members? The outcome could have been much different.
Absolutely. And, you know, Mitch McConnell says, oh, you know, we just fell one vote short. No, no, no. You fell one vote short, Mitch McConnell. And I mean, you remember Daryl Glenn in the 2016 cycle, Tony. He was an outstanding conservative nominee in Colorado, one of the only two flippable states for Republicans in the last election cycle. Good conservative, African-American even, which is a bonus, of course. Air Force Academy graduate running in Colorado. And in that state, Mitch McConnell provided and led the spending of the monumental amount of $0 to help conservative Daryl Glenn simply because he was a conservative. And at the same time, they spent over $25 million trying to advance mushy moderate Joe Heck. In the other flippable state, and that's Nevada, both candidates lost by 3 points. Well, if you'd spent half of that money in Colorado, you'd have Senator Daryl Glenn, and you'd have had the vote. You say, gosh, we just missed by one vote, because Daryl Glenn would have been there. And we could have had real repeal instead of any of these watered-down versions, which is really what Mitch McConnell's aiming for now. So
the bottom line,
policy failure, it's the vicious attacks on conservatives coupled with the policy failure that really requires this leadership to step down. They cannot govern, and they cannot lead.
So bottom line is what you and the others that were the Senate Conservative Fund and others who have signed on this For America, David Bozell, is that we need conservatives in the Senate who will actually pull the plug and drain the swamp, not just talk about it.
That's exactly right. Look, they campaign as conservatives and they govern as liberals. And it's important to remember that when you talk about liberals and conservatives, the Senate Republican leadership fits in the batch called liberals. I mean, look, the House just succeeded in getting a good bill through the 20-week abortion bill. And
right.
Senator John Cornyn, the number two guy in the Senate Republican leadership, declared it dead on arrival.
Yeah.
Where's that leadership for conservatives?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Ken Cuccinelli, thanks for joining us. Great to talk to you.
Good to be with you, Tony.
You can find out more about Ken Cuccinelli when you visit tonyperkins.com. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, helping you stay informed on the issues that matter to you. You can donate when you visit tonyperkins.com. When we come back, actress Sam Sorbo.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Thursday's Washington Watch Live radio program, author and actress Sam Sorbo joined Tony on Radio Row at the Values Voters Summit to discuss the release of the new faith-based film, Let There Be Light. Here now is Tony Perkins.
One of the highlights of this year's Values Voters Summit is the screening of a new film, Let There Be Light, starring Kevin and Sam Sorbo. It will be released this Christmas.
No, October 27th.
October 20th. Okay. Not at Christmas.
Not at Christmas.
Not
it's
at Christmas.
2 weeks from now.
All right. But if you come here, you can actually see it sooner.
Sooner.
Because we're going to be showing it tomorrow night here. Sean Hannity is the executive producer of the faith-based film. And the voice you just heard is connected to the body of Sam Sorbo. Sam, welcome to Washington
Watch.
It's
not an out-of-body voice. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here at the Values Voter Summit. We're looking forward to this movie. And give us the history behind you and Kevin doing this movie.
So I just had the idea of this movie as a lark. I was thinking what it would look like if a confirmed atheist was really challenged on his worldview, if something really shook him up. And so I drew a character of a confirmed, basically the world's greatest atheist. And then I put him in a position where he has a near-death experience, and he sees something that just doesn't jive with what he thinks he should be seeing in a near-death experience if you hallucinate something. And from that, he goes into a huge tailspin. His life just spins out of control. It's a movie about overcoming. It's a movie about family. It's a movie about love and redemption and forgiveness. What I found is women love the movie. We tested it, and women love the movie. It makes you want to laugh and cry and stand up and cheer. Men love it even more, and I think it's because they feel represented. Because here's a guy who's fighting with God, fighting with his family, fighting with his wife, fighting to be a good father, but he really doesn't know how. And I think a lot of men are in one of those positions right now. And so there's even a line in the movie where his wife is sort of confronting him on his lifestyle and how he's making a living, because he's an atheist and he sells books. He's the world's greatest atheist, right? And he says, you know, it pays the bills, because that's all she sees him as. And we have that sort of situation in our culture today where men are sort of sidelined.
These types of movies, the public actually wants them.
Oh, yeah.
Viewers want them. I mean, God is Not Dead.
God's Not Dead was huge.
And it was great. It was a great movie. Plus, I like the fact that it was filmed in Baton Rouge, a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, I actually helped create the tax incentive when I was in the legislature there in Louisiana to try to draw more of those films in.
Success.
And five of my kids were born in the hospital that actually provided the site of the classroom there at the old women's hospital.
Oh, right. Sure.
So it was neat to watch
you've
that.
You've got a really strong attachment to God's Not Dead.
I do.
But it was a great film, and what's amazing is people approach my husband. He's very recognizable, and they approach him all the time. And it used to be for Hercules, but now it's for faith-based movies, and they just say, please make more of them.
Yeah.
Well,
he did a great job. I thought I didn't actually know him as Hercules. I don't watch TV and don't watch all that. But
right.
We took kids to watch the movie God Is Not Dead.
Thought
it was a great, great movie, great message, and I thought your husband did a great job.
Well, then you'll love this one.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be watching it.
Good.
And let me ask you this, though. As a Christian in Hollywood, mm-hmm. making faith-based films, how do your colleagues in Hollywood respond?
You know, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have a fairly disappointing answer, because I'm not really in Hollywood. I stopped acting when right before I got married. My husband had three strokes. My fiance at the time had three strokes, and he needed me. So I basically walked away from my career then. I tried to get back into it, and my one-year-old daughter chased me down and scolded me for being away from home. Now, if you talk to Kevin, which I'm sure you will, I think tomorrow you're having
Kevin
on. He'll tell a little bit of a different story, because Hollywood does not want to be confronted with truth or morals. And
really?
That's why
I didn't realize that.
And that's why this whole thing with Harvey Weinstein is such a problem for them, because they're decrying the nastiness against women, but they really don't have a leg to stand on, because where's their moral compass? They don't want one. They don't want to have one. And so I feel bad for the women who were accosted and who either put out or, you know, dealt with it in whatever way. But the fact is that for them to come out and say this is a bad thing, what's your metric?
I was just talking about that earlier in the program, how when morals are malleable, when there's no transcendent truth,
right,
in its popular opinion, that truth becomes a sword. It reminded me of the scripture where Jesus said, if you fall on the rock and you're broken, you can choose to do that, or the rock will fall and crush you. And the truth is, if we fall broken on the truth, we'll be healed.
Right.
But if we refuse to acknowledge the truth will fall on us and crush us.
Right.
And I think that's what we see here in Hollywood. And I said earlier that we're actually learning something from Hollywood this week, that
in the fact that you treat truth as if it doesn't exist and morality as if it were relative, we're seeing that that comes back to bite you.
Well, and the weird thing is he says that he knew it was wrong. Well, if you know it's wrong, then you don't do it. That's how that works.
All right, before we run out of time, we're talking about Let There Be Light. Sam Sorbo, my guest, her and Kevin, releasing a new film. Sean Hannity is the executive producer. Comes out October 27th, and it'll be in theaters across the country.
It's in theaters across the country. Go to lettherebelightmovie.com to find the theater near you. And you can also, we do group ticket sales, so if you want to organize a group, you can go on the website lettherebelight.com and find out all that information.
Is that a Friday night? What day of the week?
It is a Friday, yeah. It opens on a Friday night.
And it'll
yeah.
be going through the weekend?
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah. Okay. It's a national release. So if
well, I know how the
if they show up on opening weekend, then it'll stay another week.
Right, right.
But if you don't show up on opening weekend,
so,
it may not last.
So churches, you just heard they have group sales,
yeah.
group ticket sales. So it'd be a great time to fill up a theater on that weekend.
Yeah, there are a lot of churches who are doing that. But I'm encouraging everybody to keep going. Yeah,
because we I know we did that on several movies on the Sunday night. We cancel church and go to the theater.
Oh, I love that.
And invite people to the theater and buy an extra ticket and bring a neighbor. Sam Sorbo, thanks so much for being with us, and thanks for being here at the Values Voter Summit.
It's awesome.
And tomorrow night, if you're here, there's a free screening of Let There Be Light here at the Values Voter Summit. So if you're here, you can see it. If you're not, well, you're going to have to wait till October 27th.
Go to the theaters.
All right. Sam, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
If you want to find out more about the film, Let There Be Light, just head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. When we come back, Tony shares his thoughts on a fundamental change coming to the Boy Scouts.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Recently, an announcement was made by the Boy Scouts of America that is sending shockwaves through the scouting world. Here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins as he shares his thoughts on this decision.
The Boy Scouts of America announced that girls will soon be allowed to become Cub Scouts and to earn the coveted rank of Eagle Scout. They'll be able to become Boy Scouts. Girls will be Boy Scouts. The organization, they'll be able to get the highest honor of the organization, which I mentioned is the Eagle Scout Award. The Scouting Board of Directors voted unanimously to make the historic change in an organization that has been primarily for boys since its founding more than 100 years ago. Now, what was the point of the Boy Scouts? I mean, 100 years ago, what was in the mind of those who created it? Well, it's pretty simple. It was to prepare boys to be men so they could be soldiers. Now, I know that that is probably harsh for some sensitive ears out there, but that's the reality. That's what the Boy Scouts were there. It was to help boys make that transition to manhood so that they could become better soldiers, warriors. Oh, I know that's not politically correct. But that's, look, societies, civilizations survive because there are those that are willing to protect it. And you go back to the very beginning, the Boy Scouts, and the thought was, you know what, we need men. This was, I think it was after World War One. We need boys that are better prepared to serve in our nation's military. And so that's what gave rise to the Boy Scouts. And it's been doing a great job up until about the last 10, 15 years. But this should come as no surprise. I mean, this is the slippery slope of political correctness that we often talk about. You know, they say, well, we just want boys who are uncertain about their gender. They're homosexuals, and we want them to be able to be a part of scouting because they need that experience. And so they changed the policy. Well, they came back, and then they changed the policy that we need to have homosexual scout leaders. And they began to drop in numbers rapidly because parents began pulling their boys out. Churches that really were some of the primary chartered many of these troops pulled out. It went to Trail Life USA, which is a Christian scouting program that actually we were a part of helping launch. It's headquartered in Florida. John Stenberger is the, I believe he's still the chairman of that. They're doing great. They are, in fact, I think we're going to get somebody on this week talk about it. But they are growing by leaps and bounds. Still a rigorous program so that it really does have substance. And but it's the boys are not only physically challenged, they're spiritually challenged to grow because you can't address the outward till you address the inward. And so it's a great program. Trail Life USA should find out more about it. But this is an example of where the left's agenda leads us. You know, we're told it's just, well, we just want to make this tweak, and then that's it. We're now in a very, very short period of time, about 5 years, to where the Boy Scouts are now going to allow girls to join. I mean, you're not going to be able to call it Boy Scouts anymore. They're going to have to drop the title. It's going to be Scouts. And there's, I mean, there's more to come. They will continue until there's nothing left. Nothing but the symbolism without substance.
If you want to find out more about anything we've talked about today, just head on over to TonyPerkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to TonyPerkins.com and clicking on the donate button. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.